Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerruteri, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, for stretches last night, like you said in your postgame press conference, it looked like both teams were road teams last night. It wasn't a whole lot of wow factor. There were certainly several plays that made me say, wow. Let's start at the end of the game and work backwards. First off, the finish. We talked last night in the pregame about finishers. Alex Iarullo catches that pass, goes low. The Laker player slides down the slot to try to cut off a shooting angle or a passing angle. What's the key to getting the puck around that sliding defenseman?
That's a hard play sometimes, Schultz, because a lot of teams, we never want our defensemen to leave their feet, but a lot of teams do. In the NHL, they leave their feet all the time. And I think first off, from that standpoint, if you do leave your feet, timing's everything. Timing's everything. And probably 5-on-5, it might work. But when there's 3-on-3, there's just a little bit more. You're a little more comfortable, I think, when you have the puck right there, and you're a little more at ease when you see it. But Alex had the poise and the wherewithal just to hold on to it. And by the time the guy, he left his feet, he probably left his feet a little early. And Alex, you know, really, Alex, the guy overslid, and then Alex had a little bit of a lane to hit TK, and that's what he did.
And to me, that sliding play is win or go home. It's either going to be successful or you're going to epically fail. Is it hard to teach that out of guys?
No. I mean, it all depends on just what you want to accomplish as a coach. But, again, like I said, Schultz, there's a lot of teams that want their D going down on those. There is. And, I'm not saying we're right or we're wrong. We just don't want our D to leave their feet. Like, we would just probably banana back and take the backside and let the goaltender take the shooter right there. We'll start in the middle of the net right there. Hopefully, plus you got back pressure coming back, and you're hoping that your reinforcements are going to come into the play. But boy, a lot of teams do it, and a lot of teams are good at it. So I'm not sitting here being critical either way, but Alex just made a really good play right there.
Prior to that part of the play, Elias Rosen makes two plays. We'll start with his defensive play. They got a guy with virtually an open net to shoot at, and he lifts the stick. It sounds so darn easy, but it isn't. Is that harder? From a technique standpoint or from a strength standpoint?
Well, I don't think it's very hard. Rosie was behind the play, and it was great timing for Rosie to get, to head back to the net, and Calder was wide open, and as soon as the pass went to Calder, it was just great timing. And it's not hard to lift the stick up when you get there, but we were just, our timing was impeccable on that particular play, obviously.
So now Elias gets the puck below the goal, and I heard after the game that Brendan Harris was yelling at him that he had more time. It takes a lot of trust. Elias has got to trust Harry. Now he looks up, and he makes a heck of a pass. We'll start with the communication part of that. Fans can't hear that through the glass. We got microphones hanging from the rafters. We can't hear that stuff.
Right.
How much does that go on?
Well, a lot, big time. I mean, those guys are yapping a lot on the ice, and there's just a lot of communication going on.
Now, with that pass, it's got to be accurate. It's got to be the right speed. There's a lot that goes into making that play. It's a heck of a play, isn't it?
Well, Rosie can do that. And, Rosie might be our most talented defenseman since Brad Hunt. And, those guys never surprise you. And he's just, he's really got a lot of poise.
Well, Brendan Harris's goal was the number 5 play on ESPN's top 10 plays. Was that one of those plays that even you on the bench said, wow?
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was a heck of a play, Schultz. Obviously, not only again getting the puck around their defenseman right there, but then obviously he kind of froze mittens and then went the other way with it. And sometimes again those plays, the reason those plays happen is because it's not only again beating the defenseman 1-on-1, but it all kind of plays in together is what I'm getting at.
You don't see many guys open the hips up and turn their back to the goalie. That's got to be confusing to mittens, isn't it?
I agree with you. And I think the main reason Harry's got such great – he's so good on his edges, obviously. You know that. And I think that's probably – a lot of guys can't do it is what I'm getting at.
A lot of guys won't try it even.
No, 100%, Schultz. They won't even try it. You're spot on.
More with Coach Cerruteri when we return. Our pregame continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part 2 with head coach Tom Cerruteri. Tom, the name of the game is all about scoring. You don't score, you don't win the game. A couple of decades ago, Major League Baseball had that saying, chicks dig the long ball. People like offense. People like scoring goals. In football, they like scoring touchdowns. They don't like making tackles. Is it difficult to maintain patience of just taking what they're giving you defensively and know that offense will come eventually?
Well, yeah, but there's no question that there's probably a little bit of frustration both ways for them and for us, but you just got to stick with it. And we're at a very difficult level to score goals, and in a game last night where there wasn't a lot of juice, and you got a team like we're pretty good defensively, they're pretty good defensively, they're really big and strong, and it just those games are going to happen sometimes.
How has playing defense kind of stood the test of time in hockey, where it really hasn't in other sports?
Well, I think it's just hard to change the rules in hockey. That's probably the main thing. That's probably probably the best way of putting it.
Other leagues change rules to generate offense. You're flat out right. They do it.
I just don't know what we can do in hockey. I mean, again, we've talked about it all the time. You know, we make the nets bigger. I mean, they've eliminated the red line, but even eliminating the red line, how much offense are you increasing? I don't know if you're increasing it or not. You probably are a little bit, but to what degree? So it's just, and the players are so darn good today too. And so that, to me, when they're that darn good, it also allows them to play better defense, because you can close, you can tighten gaps quicker, you can close quicker. So, it's just interesting, Schultze. And, like football, the passing game has evolved, and they obviously, they protect the quarterback, they protect the wide receivers. They've done certain things in football, which is outstanding. And then in baseball, I don't know where the baseballs are wound a little tighter, supposedly. The players are a heck of a lot bigger. And I don't know, I think the dimensions of the baseball parks are probably shorter than they were back in the 50s and 60s, aren't they?
Yeah, they want fans closer to the game.
Yep, so, I mean, there's just all those, I can't sit there and tell you why, but our sport, is interesting. And, we've done certain things that, you want to eliminate holding, and eliminate holding helps, helps the skaters, and you have more of a free-flowing game, but sometimes... at our level, there's just probably too much clutching and grabbing, and I think they got to probably. I think if they really start clamping down on that more, I think you'll see a little more offense. I think that's one thing we do need to do.
How does playing in 8 overtimes help your guys get better at overtime?
I don't know. I mean, experience doesn't hurt, probably, but these are just. I think we talked about it last night. There's just certain plays that are going to happen one of these overtimes, and sometimes you're going to be on the right side of it, and sometimes you're going to be on the wrong side of it.
The schedule is obviously very challenging this week. What's your average shift length on a normal game, and what is it going to be today?
I don't know, but we've been talking about it all week, and I've been going really short on the bench. It gets a lot shorter on the bench. If Toby says 25 seconds or so, I'm yanking the line and putting a new line out there, because I don't want it to evolve into a 65-second shift. And, we got to have I just thought we were a court low last night, and you got to have some gas in the tank, Schultze.
Your brain tells you you're tired a lot longer before your body starts to slow itself down. A lot of that preseason testing that you guys do, is for weeks like this. The one I've always heard about is the Beaver Run. Did RH start that thing?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? How long was it? And do you guys still do it?
Oh, no, we haven't done it since we went division. We haven't done it over 20 years. The marathon?
Yeah, how long was that thing?
23 and a half miles. Yeah, but you could walk it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It's just one of those things. It was more for mental toughness to get it done, and it was kind of something you were pretty proud of. But no, we haven't done that. It takes a while for your body to heal up after that too, Schultze. And right now we're just starting right away. And again, training's so much different than it was back in the, back when I played in the 90s. So it's just totally different right now.
Best of luck tonight, Tom.
All right, thanks, Schultze.
Tom Cerruttori, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.